Well, I'm glad we finally got Stan to say that Microsoft doesn't have a monopoly. I'm going to have to be a little selective. Let me just focus a little bit on the empirical stuff that Stan has presented, because I have looked over some of that stuff, and though not in enough detail to really check the numbers, the thing that kind of comes out at you, he's come out with two numerical estimates. One is the costs of fragmentation, I guess $30 billion, and the other is the fact that markets where Microsoft competes have lower prices. The striking thing about both of these analyses is that, you know, whatever the numbers, wherever the numbers come from, they really don't take into account the economic logic that kind of underlies these markets. If you take the proposal that I was talking about the kind of the hybrid baby bill solution, where you have you separate off the applications and from the operating system, and then you divide the operating system into three competing companies. What Stan is talking about is there'd be large porting costs to write for all those three supposedly incompatible versions of Windows. But obviously on day one there's no porting costs. And then as you go on, what you have, I mean, the entire argument when I read it the first time I thought was, you know, it kind of brought me back to kind of Galbraithian economics, which I thought I had left in my Economics 1 course, where it said, well, why do we have more than one brand of soap? You know, it's wasteful to have more than one brand of soap. You know, they advertise against each other. They market against each other. Soap is soap. We only need one brand. Well, I mean, that's kind of antithetical to the premise of a competitive economy. It's antithetical to the premise of the antitrust laws. And it ignores, in this particular case, the incentives on the part of the participants in this market. Because each new company would start out by sharing a large installed base of users who would have a very strong incentive to maintain compatibility both with the existing stock of programs, backward compatibility, and with each other. I mean, consumers want to have access to a large supply of programs. Program developers want to have access to a large supply of consumers. Okay, and if you're one of these three companies and you decide to make yourself incompatible with everybody else, that's a pretty risky decision. You're gonna risk losing one or both of those things. So there's really very strong incentives to maintain compatibility and compete essentially within the Windows standards. Now, obviously, over time, you may not have 100% perfect, complete compatibility, and there may be some porting costs, but you would also have a lot of competition and a lot of improvement in the quality, in the quality of the product, and these porting costs, which, I mean, Stan's estimate of the porting costs, and I really didn't get into the numbers to be able to evaluate it, but it seems to me that it assumes three entirely incompatible operating systems. And you know, there's nothing in the economic logic of the situation to think that that would develop, because there are very strong incentives to maintain that compatibility. Now, with respect to the price of Windows being lower, the price of software being lower in the markets that Microsoft has entered, that also ignores the economics of the software industry. The economics of the software industry: first, you have these large network effects. Okay. Secondly, software is a declining cost industry. There are large fixed costs, and so Microsoft, being a smart company, understood all of that. Okay, so they went into rapidly expanding markets. Okay, they tried to make those markets expand even more rapidly than might other have by pricing their products competitively. And so they're in very large volume markets where the average cost of the software is very low. So the causation, I mean, to say that the causation of these low prices is because Microsoft entered the market just misses the point of the whole of the economics of those markets. Another point that Stan made is that the benefit of this whole thing is that Microsoft's competitors, the Suns and the Oracles of the world, are concerned not about Windows, but about NT. Obviously, Windows and NT are converging basically to Windows. And I'm sure that those companies are concerned about the potential for Microsoft to monopolize the NT market on the server end, and then perhaps and strengthen its position in the enterprise market. Perhaps do a similar thing there that they did in the applications market for Windows. But the proposal that I'm promoting would essentially create several new competitors for the Microsofts, for the Suns and the Oracles of the world. So it's hard to see how that would be an unhealthy thing for the marketplace. Stan said a lot of things, and he started out by saying, "Well, with this behavior was really may have been in bad taste, but really didn't hurt the market." I mean, the fact of the matter is, I think that nobody really denies the fact that Microsoft was successful in shutting off the avenues by which this browser was distributed and basically closing it down to a competitor. Now, you can engage in exclusive arrangements of that sort if you're in a competitive market, but the rules are different for monopolists. I mean, they always have been, and those things are just because even if they get the monopoly fair and square, we don't want them to be using these types of practices in order to be able to maintain it forever, even in the face of competition from a potentially better product.